The Weight of Memory, A Holocaust Survivor's Journey. As I sit down to write this book, I am acutely aware of the weight of memory. For decades, I have carried the burden of my experiences during the Holocaust, not just as a personal history, but as a responsibility to educate future generations. My name is Heidi Fried, and I was just 19 when the Nazis tore my family from our home and sent us to Auschwitz. The questions I've been asked over the years by young people have been both heartbreaking and hopeful. They remind me why I must continue to share my story. The slow descent into darkness. The Holocaust didn't begin with gas chambers. It started with small, almost imperceptible changes. As a young girl in Hungary, I watched as our lives slowly constricted. First, there were whispers, then laws, then yellow stars. We told ourselves it would pass, that surely things couldn't get worse. But they did, relentlessly. I'm often asked, how did people let this happen? The truth is, it happened gradually. Like a frog in slowly heating water, we didn't realize the danger until it was too late. By the time we were herded onto cattle cars, the world we knew had already vanished. The journey to Auschwitz was a nightmare of confusion and fear. Packed into train cars with no food, water, or sanitation, we clung to each other and to hope. Upon arrival, in a moment that haunts me still, I was separated from my parents. I never saw them again. That separation was the worst thing that happened to me, worse than the hunger, the cold, the constant threat of death. It was the moment my childhood truly ended. Life in the shadow of death. In the camps, survival became our only focus. Every day was a struggle against hunger, disease, and despair. I'm frequently asked about daily life in Auschwitz. How did we sleep? What did we eat? Did we ever laugh? The truth is, we barely slept. Crammed onto wooden bunks, plagued by lice and the moans of the sick and dying, rest was elusive. Food was a constant obsession. Our daily ration, a piece of moldy bread and watery soup, was never enough. Yet even in that hell, there were moments of humanity. We shared stories, we comforted each other, and yes, sometimes we even managed to laugh. Those small acts of kindness and connection were what kept us going. Work was brutal and endless. Whether sorting the belongings of the dead or laboring in factories, we worked until we dropped. The threat of selection, of being deemed too weak to work and sent to the gas chambers, hung over us constantly. I saw friends and neighbors disappear, knowing their fate but powerless to stop it. Young people often ask me if I ever lost hope. The truth is, hope was a luxury we couldn't afford. We lived moment to moment, focused only on survival. It wasn't until after liberation that the full weight of what we'd endured truly hit us. The long shadow of survival. When the camps were liberated, we emerged into a world forever changed. I was free, but where would I go? My home, my family, my entire world had been destroyed. This is a question that haunts many survivors. How do you rebuild a life from ashes? For me, the path forward led to Sweden. There, I slowly began to piece together a new life. I became a psychologist, driven by a need to understand the human capacity for both cruelty and resilience. I married, had children, and tried to create the normalcy that had been stolen from me. But the past never truly leaves us. For years, I couldn't speak about what I'd experienced. The memories were too raw, too painful. It wasn't until I began speaking to young people that I found a way to channel my experiences into something positive. The importance of bearing witness. One of the most common questions I'm asked is, why is it important to remember the Holocaust? It's a question that cuts to the heart of why I do this work. We remember not just to honor the dead, but to protect the living. The Holocaust didn't happen in a vacuum. It was the result of years of unchecked hatred, of people looking the other way, of the dangerous belief that it couldn't happen here. By sharing my story, I hope to make the abstract concrete. When I tell young people about the friends I lost, the family I'll never see again, it becomes more than just a chapter in a history book. It becomes real, and in that reality lies the power to prevent such horrors from happening again. I'm often asked if I can forgive. It's a complex question with no easy answer. Forgiveness is a personal journey, and for me, it's ongoing. What I can say is this: I don't live with hatred. Hatred is a poison that hurts the one who carries it more than anyone else. Instead, I choose to focus on education, on fostering empathy and understanding. A call to action for future generations. As I near the end of my life, I find myself thinking more and more about the future. What will happen when there are no more survivors left to tell their stories? This is why I write, why I speak, why I answer these questions again and again. To the young people reading this, I say, you are our hope. You have the power to shape the world you want to live in. Learn from the past, but don't be paralyzed by it. Stand up against injustice, even when it's difficult. Remember that silence in the face of oppression is itself a form of oppression. The Holocaust happened because ordinary people made choices. They chose to look away, to go along, to prioritize their own comfort over the lives of others. But there were also those who chose differently, who risked everything to help others, who refused to be bystanders to evil. You too will face choices in your life. They may not be as dramatic as those faced during the Holocaust, but they will shape the world around you. Choose wisely. Choose kindly. Choose to stand up for what's right, even when it's hard. In the end, that's what I hope people take from my story and from the stories of other survivors. Not just the horror of what happened, but the responsibility we all share to ensure it never happens again. The Holocaust wasn't just a Jewish tragedy, it was a human tragedy. And preventing its repetition is a human responsibility. As I close this book, I'm filled with a mix of sadness and hope. Sadness for all that was lost, for the world that was destroyed. But hope, too. Hope in the young faces I see at my talks, in the thoughtful questions they ask, in their determination to build a better world. Remember, but don't let the weight of memory crush you. Learn, but don't let knowledge paralyze you. Instead, let it inspire you to action. For in your hands lies the power to shape the future. Use it wisely, use it kindly, and never forget the cost of indifference.